Welcome again this morning. Welcome to our last sermon in Unshakable, the Unshakable series. And we've been learning about God's stabilizing truths, and we're not going to go all the way through them today. But we are at the end of this letter that Paul wrote to this church in Thessalonica. And as in most letters, the letters that we will receive, you get into the letter and you'd get a sincerely or yours in Christ or something like that, and then you'd sign your name, and then and you'd have your whatever else would be down there, maybe a P.S. at the bottom of it. We are at that point of this letter. This is Paul's his final greeting, so to speak, to the church in Thessalonica. He's closing the letter, and as you're going to see, he uses some authentication in the letter as we get to that point on it. But here he is talking about peace. And he's praying for peace. And this is actually his final prayer for this church in Thessalonica. It's a prayer about peace and for peace. And it's interesting to me that this falls on this particular Sunday when we are we're going to be going to the polls this week. And there's been a lot of conversation about what's going to happen after the election and how soon it's going to be over and all that kind of stuff. And I don't really want to go into any of that today, but I think it's appropriate that we're praying for peace today. That's not the only reason this passage is here, because it's a passage that talks about prayer of peace among ourselves, peace between us and God, and peace among people in our world. And so as we move into this particular passage, I'd like us just to read it. It's chapter 3, beginning with verse 16. And reading out of the New Living Translation, it says, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you this peace at all times and in every situation. The Lord be with you all. Here is my greeting in my own handwriting, Paul. I do this in all my letters to prove they are from me. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." And so Paul begins this letter by, there we go. I don't know where that guy came from. Anyway, he begins this letter with this particular passage right here. And it says, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you this peace at all times in every situation." And we see from this that Jesus is our source of peace. He is the source of peace for every believer. Now, he begins it by saying, "Now may the Lord give you peace." And so I want you to remember that in this particular letter, at the end of this letter we just talked about last week, there was a little bit of disorderliness that was occurring in the church. There was some disunity that was occurring. There was some strife that was happening. It was a fairly healthy church, but there was a little bit of conflict within the church. And so it's interesting to me that he says, "Now may the Lord," after he just got done saying, this is how you take care of a person who is disorderly, then he says, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you this peace." And he says, "May the Lord." So I want to go through each one of these words here a little bit this morning to talk about them. Lord is the idea of owner, of master, of the one who has authority over something or someone. That's what Lord means. And so when it says Lord of peace, that means whoever this Lord of peace is master, has the authority over peace. He has the capacity to grant peace. He has the capacity to take peace away. He has the capacity to do whatever he wants with this peace. And so the Lord of peace, meaning he has control of it, it's his, himself, may he give you this peace. Now we know that the Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who this is. In fact, in Isaiah, it calls Jesus the Prince of Peace. He's the one who has peace under his control. And since he is one in the same with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, God is the source of peace. Now, we get it through the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is through his blood, as we have just talked about in this communion service, it's through his blood that we have peace with God. It's through his gift of faith to us that we are able to come into relationship with God. It is through his grace that he allows us to do that. And when we get the gift of faith, we have the opportunity to believe. We have the opportunity to choose to receive what God has given to us. And so Jesus is our source of peace. He himself It's interesting to me again that he uses that pronoun himself. He could have said, "The Lord of peace give you his peace." He could have said it that way. He could have left out that pronoun himself. But it's the personal aspect of that pronoun that makes it so significant. May the Lord of peace himself. It's as though he comes to us and he offers us peace if we'll simply trust him with the things that are going on in our lives. The Lord of peace give you his peace. Notice whose peace it is. It's his peace. John, the 14th chapter, talks about this. He says, "I give you my peace. I give you my peace." You see, Jesus had peace. Peace with God, his Father. He was at peace within himself. He had heart peace. Even though he was going to the cross, he had heart peace. He knew what he was doing was the right thing to do. And so it was his peace that he offered to his disciples, and he offers it again to us through this prayer of the Apostle Paul. And notice when it comes. The peace comes at all times and in every situation. Every circumstance, he offers us peace in our lives. And so we can see by this that Jesus is the source of our peace. If you need peace today, okay, if there's things that are going on in your life, maybe there's anxiety because of the election season that's coming up, okay? Maybe that's caused you to be really disturbed, okay? Or maybe there's something going on in your household that just doesn't give you any peace. There's something happening, maybe in your family or in your friends, where you are struggling with something and you need to have resolution and you need peace. Notice that Jesus is the source of that peace. It could be that you don't even know who Jesus is, that you need a relationship with him, and he offers you a free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ and peace with God through Jesus. And so he offers that to us. So we have heart peace, we have relationship peace, we have internal peace with God through this. And so peace is found in Jesus, but we also find peace in his presence. He continues by saying, "May the Lord be with you all." And I know that can be kind of like sincerely, okay? I know it can be that way. The Lord be with you all. We can say that as a benediction, okay, to things. But if we know that the scriptures are written, and they were written for our edification, for our teaching, and that all scripture is inspired by God, then even these salutations, these greetings, have merit to our understanding what God is giving to us. He says, "The Lord be with you all." Of all the things that you can have in your life that are most important, it is the presence of Jesus in your life. Him being present brings peace. He says he is the Prince of Peace, that he is the Lord of Peace. Therefore, wherever Jesus is, peace will reign. If you don't have peace, Jesus is not on the throne of your life. You are not submitting yourself to his authority in your life. So as a result, you live in anxiety and frustration and worry and all those other things. When we have those things in our life, what we have said to us, "I'll take care of this myself, Jesus. Just step off to the side for a little bit. I'm going to take care of this myself." And then we wonder why we have anxiety and we have no peace, because we've asked Jesus to step away from us. We haven't embraced him. We haven't said, "Come and be part of my life." We've said, "No, I'll do it my way. I'll do it my way." And so he says, "The Lord be with you all." What Paul desires for every believer is that the Lord would be right beside them, standing next to them, walking with them through every aspect of their life, bringing his peace to their lives. See, where Jesus is, peace abounds. In Galatians, the 5th chapter, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Now, this is the Holy Spirit we're talking about. In another portion of Scripture, it says that Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. So the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, gives us a certain set of fruit in our lives. And one of those fruits of our lives is peace. It's one of the things that God brings to our lives when we submit ourselves to God and say, "I'll do it your way. I want to do it the way you want me to do it." And as a result, when we do that, then peace becomes part of our lives, because Jesus' presence enters into our life and we are in fellowship with him. Now, one of the things I said to you about this table was, if you're walking with the Lord, if you want him to be in your life, that we welcome you into these tables, because it's the fellowship. This is a fellowship meal. We come into relationship with him, but we're in fellowship with him. Now, to give you an understanding how this works, just think about your relationships. If you are married, think about your married relationships. If you have family and you're in fellowship with them, understand this. It works the same way. You see, so when, and I'm just going to use Rosemary as an example. When Rosemary and I are in fellowship with one another, we enjoy being in each other's company. We look at each other, we wink at each other, we kiss, you know, when we're in fellowship, okay? When we are out of fellowship, you know what it looks like, okay? We have like, there's a wall between us, okay? Well, that same fellowship, which is a communing together of two souls, okay, can happen between us and Christ. Be off between us and God. Or we can say, I want to do it my way, and so I want this channel tonight, and you can watch that channel tonight, and you can go in the bedroom and watch it. I'll watch mine right here. And what happens to our lives? Well, they become disoriented, okay? They become disrupted by that break, okay? So fellowship with Jesus is to say, I want to do what you want me to do. I want to walk in relationship with you. The Lord be with you all. Peace comes from Jesus, and peace comes from his presence in our life when we fellowship, when we are in communion with him. That's why we call this communion. You commune, come into relationship with, because you have the relationship through the blood of Jesus, and now you come and you, if you need to, right the relationship, or if you are walking in with him, you come and just have this special time of celebrating what he's done for us in our lives. That's why this is a communion service, a communing of two souls together in fellowship. The peace is found in presence. He also says, as he makes a little parenthesis now, right here. Now, you know, because we've already talked about this, that there seems to me that there was a second letter in between 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians that was sent to this church, supposedly as a letter from Paul, but it was a false letter, okay? It was not a letter that came from Paul. It had a lot of misinformation information in it. It had some false teaching in it. And so what Paul started to do in this second letter was he started to write these letters. Now, this is only his second letter he's ever written to them. And I don't believe... Oh, I'm sorry. In 1 Thessalonians... Let's look here. In 1 Thessalonians, he does not sign it that way. Okay? So his first book, he didn't sign it with his hand. We believe that Paul probably had a scribe or someone taking this down as Paul was speaking it. He was writing it down for him. And then he gets to the end of the letter, and in order to make sure that it's him writing it, Paul would take the pen and he would write his own name, Paul, at the end of the letter. And then he would say this, "Here's my greeting in my own hand, Paul." That's his signature. "I do this in all of my letters to prove that they are from me." So evidently, there were other letters that were sent out by Paul that didn't make it into the canon of the scriptures. But he says, this is the way I do it with my letters to keep accuracy. So authenticity is right here. This is what he's saying. This is my signature. This is my fingerprint. This is my evidence that this letter was from me. So that's kind of a parenthesis in this peace statement. And then we finish it with this statement, "May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." And again, this sounds like a benediction that you would hear at a service or at a funeral or something like that. "May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." And it can be used that way. It is a benediction. But it also has so much truth in it. "May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." Grace is that favor God shows on us that is his kindness that brings us to repentance. It is the grace of his blood that he shed for us, and he gave opportunity for us to come into faith with him. It is the salvation that we experience. And we've talked about grace all the way through this particular letter. But he says, "May that grace of our Lord Jesus Christ," again, he uses his full title and his full name, "be with you all." Grace is so important because in that grace is found the peace that we get with Jesus. It is through his grace that we have faith, that we can come into relationship with him, and it's through that faith we have peace with God, both now and forever. Once you have it, you don't lose it. It's gone because he's called you into it. May the peace of God come from his grace. And so this morning, I just want to, first of all, I want to pray for you, but I want to pray this prayer for us. But as we do this, I just want you to think with me a minute, and I'm going to step outside of this particular passage. I'm going to talk about what we're facing in our country in these next days, okay? So on Tuesday this week, we have the opportunity to vote, okay? And if I could say anything to you right now, it would be, please take time to vote. Maybe you've already voted early, that's great, okay? But if you were not planning to vote, please plan to vote. Okay, exercise your civic responsibility and vote. We are entering into what I think is going to be a very tumultuous time in our country. No matter which candidate wins this election, okay, I think there's going to be trouble. There's going to be trouble, no matter which way you look at it. And of all the things we could ask for right now, today, it's to ask for God's mercy upon our land, that he would give us peace. Peace between people, okay? I can disagree with somebody, but I don't have to be their enemy, okay? You can be on the other side of the aisle, but we don't have to be enemies with one another. And so God says we need to pray for peace. Paul prayed for peace. He prayed for peace in this church. He prayed for internal peace. And I think he possibly would have prayed for peace within this country, okay? And the reason I think that is because this is the beginning of Paul's statement about what happens in our life. I pray that God, the source of our hope, will fill you and completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. As we trust in him, he fills us with hope, joy, and peace. We can have it in our own lives because of Philippians 4, 6, and 7. It says, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for what he does, and then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds everything you can understand. Some translations say beyond all human understanding. The peace of God is beyond human understanding. But we only get it when we say to God, this is what's going on in my life. I give it to you. Would you please take care of it? And then we thank him for the opportunity, and all of a sudden, he brings peace to our lives. He says that peace will guard your heart and your mind as you live in Christ Jesus. As you live in fellowship with him, it will guard your heart and mind. So we have peace in faith, peace of the heart because of what he's given to us. We also have peace in the church. This is what he says. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit. In other words, as a church, remain united. Don't be divided. Be united. And binding yourselves together with peace. Peace between brothers and sisters in Christ. So these are the pieces he gives. And then he says this statement in the book of Romans. He says, do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Everyone, your enemy included. If you're a Democrat, the Republican across the aisle. If you're a Republican, the Democrat across the aisle. If you're an independent, you understand what I'm saying. It's about everybody. We're to try and live at peace as Christians. To live at peace with everyone. And so I believe it's necessary for us to pray for peace in our country. Now, I'm aware that there are there's a bunch of different prayer meetings that are going on tonight across this nation, and they're televised or they'll be listed on YouTube or live streamed, that kind of stuff. I saw several of them on Facebook this morning. Looking for them. If you go on to Facebook and you just look up pray for the nation, you'll get a whole bunch of different kinds of opportunities if you would like to. But this morning, I want to pray for us that we would live, that the peace of God would give us his peace at all times. I'm going to pray for the mercy of God upon our nation, that we would live in peace, and that God's hand would be in this election, whatever that means. Because God is the one who raises kings, and he's the one who puts them down. He's in control. And so we are part of that process in our voting, okay? But at the same time, we need to pray for peace. So if you would, bow your heads with me, and we're going to pray this morning as we conclude this service. Father God, I thank you that we have peace that comes through your grace and is in the person of Jesus Christ, the Lord of peace. I thank you that you have provided peace for us. Peace with you, peace between brothers, internal peace, and peace with the people that we're around. Lord, this morning I'm praying for our nation. I pray for mercy, your mercy to be upon this nation. As we enter into this election cycle and we vote on Tuesday, Lord, I pray for peace in this nation. That the parties would maybe never get along, but they would at least be at peace. Lord, you protect us from the anarchy that seems to be so prevalent in our culture today. That you would protect your church from all the things that could disrupt it and destroy it. Lord, may the Holy Spirit reign in our lives, and may we seek peace above all things among our brethren. Father God, I pray for you. I pray that you would work in our lives, that you would give us the peace that passes all understanding. Lord, that you would, by your hand, by your personal hand, give us each individual peace. And Lord, as we think about it this week, would you encourage us to pray every time we think about our nation this week? Just pray and asking you for mercy and to bring peace to our nation. And may the Lord of peace, who from his grace has given us salvation, may you be with us all, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless. Have a great week. And remember, go to the polls on Tuesday. God bless you.